It's happening. You should see all the protests. They shot Charlie Kirk, and there's protests everywhere. Million people in London saying, "We are Charlie Kirk." That's going on all over the nation, filling stadiums. Yeah. See, this is something that needs to happen, you know, for the nation to stand up. You know, it's the craziest thing. If there's one person that will stand up and fight, the people will just let them do it. But the whole people needs to stand up. They need to stand up and make their voices heard. You know, you can't even imagine how unnerving it is when a whole bunch of people show up and confront a politician. They don't like that. Well, when there's only a couple show up, they just act like people don't care. But unfortunately, getting the church to be the church and getting them to stand up is, you just about need a stick of dynamite. And Charlie Kirk was a big stick of dynamite. And now there's people rising up. Praise God. Praise God. But it shouldn't take a horrific incident like 9/11 or Charlie Kirk or something like that to get the church to be the church. But throughout history, that's kind of the way it's always been. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They made it to the edge of Jerusalem. And then the Romans started persecuting them and they scattered. They finally got out of town. It's that way through history all the time. Jesus told hundreds, 500-600 people to go to the upper room. A couple hundred of them made it. So here we are again. Jesus has given us a mandate. Are we going to rise up and be the church? We're going to have to. Can I get a couple people help me with the communion? Holy Communion is one of the most intimate things that we can ever participate in with Jesus. We're actually taking his body and his blood. And Jesus told us to take it as often as we will. You know, we can take it every day. We can take it 2 or 3 times a day. We can take it once a week, whatever you want. The biggest thing to understand is you don't have to have a pastor administer the Holy Communion to you. You can do it at home. In the book of Acts, it talks about the disciples walking from house to house, breaking bread daily. They just went from house to house, breaking bread, taking communion. They didn't, you know, they didn't have one of the apostles with them all the time. They said the disciples went from house to house, breaking bread. I've told this often. You can get on Joseph Prince Ministries website and order this book. You can get the short version for like $4, $5, or you can get the big one for 10 or 15 on Holy Communion. And it'd be worth your time and money to do this, to get that and actually look at these different things on how to discern the body of Christ. You'll start seeing how religion has lied to us over the communion and actually held the church captive. You know, one thing they used to say to me, and it struck home, was, do not take this unworthily or you'll bring damnation to your soul. And they'd have us on our knees asking God to forgive us. I didn't want no damnation. Well, I didn't understand what it meant to discern the body of Christ. I thought it had something to do with, one of their favorites was saying, examine your heart to see if there's any sin. I promise you, every time you do that, you're going to find something wrong. You're looking at yourself. We're supposed to look unto Jesus. So we're going to receive the benefits of what he intended for us to have. See, Paul told us the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. Communion was one of those things I was really interested in, and I wanted to find out why people took communion. And there was the list of reasons people used for taking communion was as many as a truckload, it seemed like. But none of them were for the reasons God gave it. It's for our healing. Now, to discern the body of Christ, we're going to have to look at this bread and see these different things that represent Jesus. Number one, I want you to know that this bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. We're looking at the body of Christ without yeast, without sin. Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake. You'll also notice that this bread has been beaten, pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. Interesting thing about that. Iniquities are sins. We didn't know they were sins when we committed them. Transgressions were sins. We knew they were sins when we committed them. He's got us covered both ways. Also, you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. And the Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. We get healing from the Holy Communion. You'll notice that this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, and not just on that cross. His body was pierced when he got a crown of thorns. His body was pierced when he got nails in his hands. His body was pierced when he got nails in his feet. Everywhere that he got pierced, he shed blood on purpose. And we get redemption in some area for it. Also, you'll notice this bread is slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us as lawbreakers was laid on Jesus. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, so he can treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking to this broken body for our healing and our well-being. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure that it never died. Can you imagine that? The blood of Jesus is still pliable. Because it had no sin in it. There's no death in his blood. Our blood is sin tainted. That's why when we cut ourselves, we get a scab. Our blood dries out. Our blood dies when it gets out of our body. But not Jesus' blood. He had the blood of God coursing through his veins. Not Adam's blood. He had the blood of God. And when he shed that blood all those many years ago, it had a mission to wash away our sins. And it's still doing that. According to 1 John 1:7, it says the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. And it's because of that blood that we've been put into right standing with God. And we've been justified freely by his grace. And it's because of that blood that we have boldness to enter into his throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. One of the big challenges in our world is we still have a fear-based religion amongst us. And people are so afraid of making a mistake. You know, they're afraid that God will curse them, that God will do something to them. You know, Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah appeared. And Peter, he didn't really know what to say. So he said, it's good, we should make a tabernacle for all three of them. Well, he put Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. All of a sudden, a cloud overshadowed them. And God said, this is my son, hear ye him. He didn't say, hear them. He said, hear him. Now, Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. Jesus represents grace. Grace and truth. We're to look unto Jesus. We're not to look unto the law. We're to look unto Jesus. You know, there's troubled times. You know, we're living in troubled times. You can see people really, really, really having trouble. There's a lot of people having a lot of trouble. There's a lot of people that are kind of losing their minds. They're losing their faculty. And there's going to be more and more pressure put on this world as we go. There's going to be more pressure. There's going to be more pressure. We haven't seen anything. We've just scratched the surface. I find it interesting. Israel was... There's a lot of stuff going on with Israel. And they've been attacking all these countries that seem to be tied to the Gog-Magog war. That's an interesting thing. And I know a lot of people don't watch the news. They don't pay attention to what's going on. You know, they don't watch TV or whatever. You really should pay attention to what's going on in your geopolitical world. And you should check in with what's going on with Israel, what they're doing. Once in a while, it's not going to hurt you. We need to pay attention to what's going on. There's another interesting thing that's about to happen. That's the Feast of Trumpets. And there's a lot of stuff tied to that. And remember I told you when Jesus is coming back? It's hot off the press. At a time, an hour when nobody knows. You know, the interesting thing about the Jewish people, you know, these trumpets or all these feasts, they have a set specific date. They're going to happen on that date, but not the Feast of Trumpets. Now, they call the Feast of Trumpets a time and hour nobody knows. And here's the reason why, is because two witnesses have to sit out there and watch the horizon and wait for the new moon to rise. The minute they see the sliver of that new moon, they go in there and call it a celebration that the feast is on. But if it's cloudy and you can't see the moon, and it goes cloudy all night and you don't see the moon, you don't get to start the feast. It happens at a time and hour nobody knows. They have to wait until they actually see the moon. It could start the next day. They have it set to start the 23rd. That's when they figure it's supposed to happen. There's just some things. I don't know about you, but I check in with the eastern sky every once in a while. And Trump is supposed to have a meeting with the United Nations on the 23rd. If he says anything, if he starts talking about anything like a 7-year peace plan, don't take your eye off the eastern sky. Get ready. In fact, be ready now. I have no doubt that this world is not going to be the same after this Feast of Trumpets. It's not going to be the same. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it's not going to be the way we knew it. Just be ready. The thing about Jesus, when Peter hit the ground, Jesus went over there and said, "Hey, get up, don't be afraid." He doesn't want you to be afraid to be in God's presence. That's Old Testament. That's under the law belief. He does not want you to be afraid of God. He is our loving Heavenly Father. He does not want you to be afraid of Him. Now, the Bible says, those who fear the Lord. Yes, reverence. Reverence. But not being afraid of Him. There's too many people walking around afraid of God. There's too many people walking around afraid of the next advent, whatever's going to happen. There are too many people afraid. You know, there's Christians storing up food. You know, it's okay to fill your freezer. But there's people that are getting their preppers. They call them preppers. They're digging holes. Christians. He said He'll take care of us. He will. Now, one thing that Jesus made sure to let us know in Luke chapter 17, verse 21. He said, "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here, or lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you. That's good news. See, there's too many people seeking for the kingdom of God out there. And I struggled with this one time. I told God, I said, I finally got myself in a spot where the blessing's on me and everything is working good. I've got a good church. I've got a good home. I've got a good job. And He said, the blessing's inside of you. So we take the blessing wherever we go. The kingdom of God is in there. See, when you got born again, guess who moved in? He's in there. There are way too many Christians running to their pastor, asking them to pray for them. Is this the job I'm supposed to have? Is this the wife I'm supposed to have? Is this the school I'm supposed to go to? Is this the career I'm supposed to do? Is it asking the pastor to pray for everything you need? That's Old Testament mentality. You're acting like an orphan. He's in there. We ask him for ourselves. See, that was his big dream for us. See, Adam and Eve, evidently, when they were in the garden, God would evidently walk with them in the garden in the cool of the morning. Have a one-on-one personal fellowship, God and Adam. And then that got broken when Adam ate of that tree. But also, one thing that happened later on, they had to have intermediaries. You know, the people would send a prophet to hear God for them. And then the prophet would come back and tell them what God said. Or they'd tell the prophet, you go ask God this. And the prophet would go ask God this. Come back, give them an answer. So we get into the New Testament, we get into the Christian world, we get into this new way of doing things. But we find people doing things the same old way. Did you see that? And unfortunately, there's a lot of the fivefold ministry that has put themselves in this circle. See, what the design for this church is, the fivefold ministry is in line with the people, and we make this great big circle, and Jesus is right in the middle. And the fivefold ministry just points people to Jesus. Teach people how to hear God for themselves, how to pray to God, how to pray to the Father, how to use the name of Jesus. These different things, we keep pointing people to Jesus. Well, unfortunately, we get some of these fivefold ministers that step inside that circle and get the people focused on them. Now, you need to come ask me before you marry somebody. You need to come ask me before you get a new job. You need to come ask me before you go to the ministry, before you go to the mission field. That's spiritual abuse. That's spiritual abuse. They put themselves in a place where they don't have any business being. I don't mind praying for people or with people, you know, but the biggest thing I try to encourage people is, see, you've got him right inside of you. And you can hear him for yourself. It just takes us a little time, a little practice, but we can get messages from God ourselves. We don't have to run to a prophet. Say, hey, do you got anything for us? That's Old Testament stuff. We're not to be involved in that. Now Jesus, he knew a lot more than we do. But in John chapter 16, verse 33, so these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And there's a lot of people that want peace, and they're looking for peace all over the place. And the doctors just make a fantastic living off of dealing out peace to them. You take this pill, and you'll have peace. You take this medicine, you'll be able to sleep. You'll have peace. That's a fading comfort. It just masks some of the symptoms. Peace from Jesus is a fruit. No man can give the peace that Jesus gives. We can have peace in a troubled time. That doesn't mean you're not going to feel the pressure. That doesn't mean you're not going to sigh, but you still have peace in your heart. And he did say, in this world you shall have tribulation. You know, there's been a lot of tribulation in our world as of late, wouldn't you say? But the church is waking up. The church is standing up. They're coming together. That's a good thing. But the amount of people that were shocked when something bad happens is just amazing. They were shocked that Trump got shot in the ear. They were shocked. They were shocked that Charlie Kirk got shot. Right now, more than ever, we should expect tribulation. You should expect the forces of hell to be throwing every kind of fit that they can throw. Because they do not want the next move to happen. But as for us, what are we going to do? Let's look at this verse. Verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." We want that peace. Didn't we just talk about that at the Mount of Transfiguration? When God said, "This is my Son, hear ye him." So what things did he speak? You know, when I was a kid, the teachers used to come in there and tell us, they had these, you know, we'd have dances in school, and they'd have this list of tapes that we weren't allowed to bring to the dance. They said, if you play them backwards, you'll hear the devil. I thought, man, oh, that's crazy. How do they know that? Well, you know something? You can read the Bible backwards and you'll hear God. You'll hear Jesus. See, watch this. Let's go backwards from right there at that verse. See what we find. We want to know these things that he spoke unto us. So let's go to right there in John 16, verse 27. "For the Father himself loveth you because he loved me and have believed that I came out of God." Well, one of the first things we need to understand when trouble comes, God loves us. He loves us. And we want to make sure that we don't get mixed up in it. See, there's one of the big famous teachings that the Church of Control is, they'll tell you that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's a fear-based teaching. I promise you, if you're honest with yourself and you get down and you're trying to hold up to that, you're going to fail. Because the devil, he'll come up to you and say, you know, if you really loved God, you would have fed them poor people you saw the other day. If you really loved God, you would have went over and helped your neighbor when you seen them struggling with their groceries. If you really loved God, you'd be in the mission field. Why? And you get condemnation in your heart. You feel bad. Why? Because that's the law. Jesus was talking to people under the law. Remember, the cross made all the difference. It changed everything. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We'll go over to the other side of the cross. Remember, pay attention. Pay attention to what side of the cross things are being said on. Who's talking and who they're talking to. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, "We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Well, now that's different, isn't it? the church has been challenged to love God more. Now, you'll fail. Here's what we're supposed to do, is believe the God, believe the love that God has for us. You know, once in a while, you might ask yourself, how Christian is your God? That sounds like a peculiar question, doesn't it? How Christian is your God? Are you going to be in trouble if you make a mistake? Are you going to be in trouble if you don't do this just right? Are you going to be in trouble if you do this just a little bit wrong? Or is your God a loving Heavenly Father that's going to help you walk through the challenges of life? Is your high priest the one that comes after the order of Melchizedek? That gives only, doesn't take? Or is your high priest after the order of Aaron? That takes if you make a mistake. See, we need to locate ourselves. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why do we do the things we do? You know, parents ask their kids, why do you do that? Teachers ask the kids, why do you do that? Why do you do stuff like that? You know, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? Have you ever asked yourself? Well, you guys should all know better. Why do we celebrate Easter and scatter eggs out all over the place? I mean, you can find Easter in the King James Bible, so it's got to be from God, don't it? First thing you need to know about King James, he's a sodomite. They threw stuff in there that's not supposed to be in there, and they took stuff out of there that's not supposed to be taken out of there. But ask yourself these different questions. And actually study history. Look back and see what's going on. Find out where these traditions have come from. Amen? Don't just go running to your pastor. I can run up to three or four, probably five or six pastors in the Tri-County area that will explain to me how Easter is a God-given thing. But we're not supposed to follow the traditions of men. But right there, he told us, believe the love that God has for us. That's the first thing we need to do when trouble hits. We are the beloved of God. You know a curious thing about John? He ran around calling him the apostle whom Jesus loved. The apostle whom Jesus loved. That's kind of a peculiar thing. I always wondered about that. Why would he run around calling himself the apostle whom Jesus loved? He had a revelation of the love of God for him. You know, you can go find out all these different ways all these apostles died. They died horrible deaths. You know, they had terrible deaths. But not John. Not John. He was covered in the love of God. They tried to boil him in oil one time, and it didn't help. It just changed his complexion, I guess. And it made him so mad, they sent him to the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote another book. Finally, they let him come back. I read accounts of him. He got to be so old, he'd go to a church to preach. These people would carry him and set him down. He died of old age. He believed the love that God has for him. Faith will take you a long ways, but love will send you soaring. Faith and love, if you'll anchor them both together, that's really, really good. In fact, our faith works by love. But there are some people that focus only on faith. And there are some people that focus only on love. You know, we should mix them both together. It'd be good. Let's look at another one here. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, Jesus, right there, gave us the direction for prayer. He told us who to pray to. Said, you shall ask the Father in my name. So we use his name. We ask, we pray to God. You know, if we were supposed to pray to anybody else, he would have put it right there. But he didn't. Said, you shall ask the Father in my name. And then he said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. See, whatsoever covers pretty much anything now, doesn't it? It doesn't just cover your needs. It covers everything, whatsoever. Remember, when you got born again, you became a whosoever. And the devil, he walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You are not a whom he may, you are a whosoever. And whenever a whosoever asks for whatsoever in the name of Jesus, he gets that. Amen. Now, don't ever leave this verse out. See, Jesus was getting his disciples ready. He was getting his people ready because he knew he was going to leave. And he was telling them how to deal with this. See, up to that point, they could go right to Jesus himself. Say, man, I need some tax money. We'll go fishing. You know, we got a whole bunch of people to feed. So you got a sack lunch? We'll take care of it. See, Jesus was right there. But he was going away. And he knew it. And he didn't want to leave his disciples orphans. See, they were sitting under his feet learning from him. In the Jewish tradition, when a Pharisee, you know, or a high priest has somebody studying under them, if all of a sudden he dies, he's an orphan. He said, I'm not going to let you be orphanated. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to us, be our comforter. You know, something about Christians is you can tell they change. When people get born again, their countenance changes. I've seen people that looked kind of dead on the outside, and they would get born again. You see them a few days later, they have a glow. Now they start to look like Christians. Amen. You know, there's something about a rabbi, when he had students, one way to really compliment a student is say, you can see the dust of your rabbi on you. That means they look like him. They teach like him. They sound like him. They act like him. That's what happens to Christians. We become followers of Christ. All of a sudden, you can see something different about them. You can see Jesus on them. You can see Jesus in them. It's a wonderful thing. Now, in verse 24, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, you shall receive. That you need to circle this part right here. That your joy may be full. He wants you to pray to God in the name of Jesus so that you can receive whatsoever you ask so that you can have joy in your heart. Amen? Now, you're going to have more than your needs met to get that joy in your heart. He wants us to have more than food, clothing, and shelter. He wants us to have a good time. He wants us to have things that make us happy, that we can have fun with. Amen? Not everything that we do has to have a spiritual significance. You know, if you want to have a cool car, have a cool car. If you want to have a cool dog, have a cool dog. Whatever it is, ask God to help you with this. Amen? Not everything has to have something to do with the spiritual significance. Now we'll finish up with this part right here. No, we're not going to get there. We're too far in. Jesus is telling us right there, pray to God in His name so we can have our needs met. Believe the love that God has for you. You know, you believe the love that God has for you, and you understand that you're in right standing with Him, you'll have a lot more confidence going to God in prayer, won't you? However, on the other hand, you know, if you don't understand Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. See, you've kind of been a little bit mixed up with the law. Maybe trying to earn your righteousness, trying to earn some points with God, and you made a mistake. And that condemnation hits you, that's not from God. But people under condemnation won't have confidence with God. They'll be afraid of God. And they'll want the pastor to pray for them, hoping maybe something can happen. They'll want an intermediary to go to God for them because they're afraid that maybe God's mad at them. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to realize that He's the only one that can clean us up. He's the only one that can fix us. He wants us to run to Him. He wants us to let Him be our high tower, our safety. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit, who's always here to teach us and guide us. And Father, we thank you for everything Jesus, our high priest and intermediary, does for us every day, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to us. Father, we praise you for this in Jesus' name. We ask that this country gets stronger and stronger every day, and actually the whole world get stronger and stronger every day, and that maybe the whole world will come to realize that we can all have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we can stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of God, the liberty of Christ, and walk in faith and walk in love and come together in the unity of the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.